Welcome to the studio, Casey.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for popping by. Now, we should say you're also here with your guitarist. Is that how you like to be called? Michael?
Yeah. Moko.
Michael Moko. And it's funny because I was asking you during the news and then I totally forgot what you said, but your last name's spelled M-U-C-H-O-W.
Yeah.
But it's Coco with an M, we always tell everyone. But, yeah, he's the guitar player. I mean, he is a friend as well. So, you know, we've been friends for a long time. We've only just started working together, actually, in music, but known each other for a while and, yeah, jammed a lot. So that's good.
Is that good just to do the tour with buddies?
It's fun.
I mean, promo tour at that.
Yeah, I've always done it like that. Most of the people that I work with on tour are my family. So it's either family or friends. And, yeah, it's great.
And speaking of family, I did mention, you know, you've grown up, you had the Dead Ringer band, you've got working with husband as well, yeah. And then you also did the kid album, Casey Chambers, Popper Bill and the Little Hillbilly.
Yeah.
And I brought in my copy. I was wondering if you could sign it for my son.
Yeah.
I've got a toddler, Lloyd.
Oh, nice. Oh, perfect age for those songs.
So all of this sort of working with family, is that something that's kind of ingrained in you then?
Yeah, look, they're cheap, you know. No, I have my dad in the band because I don't have to pay him. It's great. No, look, it's fantastic. I've always worked with my family and, you know, I grew up music being a really big part of my life. My dad used to play a lot of songs to us and that was really our only form of entertainment when we were growing up. So music was kind of like our television. I think the way that most families are growing up with television these days, we were growing up with music, so that was a big part of our lives and it's a big part of my children's life as well. And, you know, I sort of wanted to capture that on an album, which is how the Little Hillbillies came about. And, yeah, but it's great. I love working with my family. I've never done anything different. I've never really done gigs without working with them. So I don't really... I think I'd be a bit lost if they weren't there. Mm. Yeah, it's lovely.
Do your kids like it?
They do. You know, I mean, in saying that, I think they just think it's really normal what we do, you know. They run around backstage at our gigs. They're always in the studio with us, you know. There's always instruments laying around the house and they think that that's all really normal. I mean, I've been on stage before doing a gig to hundreds of people and Talon will walk out on stage and just go, "Mummy, I'm hungry. Can you get me something to eat?" And I'm like... kind of in the middle of something right now, mate, you know. So it's just part of their lives. They just think it's really normal, yeah.
And do they remind you of you when you were their age?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, my eldest son, Talon, is just starting to get into writing songs and singing and, you know, all of that sort of, you know, music's, like I said, it's a big part of their lives. I don't know if they're showing great signs of being that talented at this point. You know, they sound like any normal kid when they sing. You know, he sounds like a normal 8-year-old when he sings. He's not. But, you know, I mean, if you'd heard me at 10 years old or something, you would never have thought that I would be able to make a living off music, trust me. It didn't sound that great.
Is that what your dad says, Bill Chambers?
Yeah, exactly.
He says, "Oh, mate, when I think back to when you were young, Casey."
Exactly, he does. He's like, you know, he just can't believe that I'm actually able to make a living out of it. He's glad that I can because I give him a job, say.
Because he gets to tour. Well, actually, he was playing with you when I saw you at the Horsham Town Hall a couple of years back. And it was excellent. It was acoustic. It was brilliant. The acoustics in that hall are good, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you sounded so comfortable, at ease with everyone who was on stage, including Shane Nicholson.
Yeah.
And I guess that then comes through, doesn't it, with the way you perform?
Yeah, it does. You know, when you're sitting up there with your family and you know, I mean, all the people in my band as well, if they're not blood related, they're friends of mine that I would spend time with on a social level as well. So, you know, I mean, Moko here, we play together in a band and all that, but we also have barbecues together and hang out and that sort of thing. So it's just really nice. I have a really lucky job that I get to spend time with people that I would choose to hang out with anyway, so it's lovely.
Mm. And do you like it, Michael?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
How does Casey, does she do a good barbecue?
Fantastic. The best.
He has to say that because he knows he'll lose his job if he talks about my bad cooking.
Do you cook much?
I do, actually. It's my favourite pastime. Is my main hobby is cooking. When I have a day off, I bake all day. I bake food and I just I'll just go around to the like our neighbourhood and just drop off cookies, don't I? I often just go to his door. He lives with a bunch of other musos as well, and I'll just drop off cookies, you know, just randomly throughout the week.
See, now, because you're here, he does have to answer just an answer you would like, Casey. But is it cooking good?
It's fantastic.
Good one. Nice work, Michael.
So you still, your contract up for renewal anytime soon? You're pretty chilled.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael's a good one too to cook for because I think he just likes anything, you know. And my husband's a bit like that as well, you know. Mm. He's one of those people who's not too fussy, so it makes me feel like I'm the best cook in the whole world, surrounded by these people who are just easy to please.
So that whole, this is great, love.
Yeah, what exactly. Oh, yeah, that's Shane all over.
Oh, dear. Now, I did mention, actually, I've got my Casey Chambers Papa Bill and the Little Hillbillies album for you to sign, but I've also got, I don't know if you remember this album, the No Depression article from 2002. So this is going back when a younger, fresher Casey Chambers gracing the cover of No Depression.
Less wrinkles, less grey hair, all those things.
My husband actually dredged that up from his magazine collection, which I was very impressed about.
That magazine actually doesn't even exist anymore. It's actually quite an iconic magazine in America with Alternative Country. And it was a huge thrill for me to get on the cover of that magazine. I know a lot of people in Australia probably have never even heard of it, but it was a big thrill. I don't know if maybe from the moment they put me on the cover, it went downhill and then it went down the Googler. I don't know. It doesn't exist anymore.
It lasted for a few years after that. But, No Depression is the name of the album. And the article of the magazine, pardon me, but the article in it, you speak about writing your first album from a viewpoint of a 17 to 19-year-old, as you did with The Captain, and making the point that Barricades and Brick Walls was written from the perspective of a 24-year-old at the time. And so they were quite different albums, if you like. Now we're 10 years on from that, nearly. How does this latest album reflect your age at the moment and, I guess, maturity in your music?
Yeah, look, all of the albums definitely do, you know. Every album I've ever made it shows who I was at the time of writing the songs, at the time of recording the album and those sort of things. And I'm 34 now and, you know, my life is... it's very different than it was 10 years ago, you know. I have two children. My life is pretty much filled with... You know, my day-to-day life is making school lunches and dropping kids to swimming lessons and P&C meetings and all of those things. There's some music thrown in there as well and some touring and things like that. But I live a fairly normal mum life these days. But obviously that's not overly interesting to write about all the time. So I try and write about a lot of different things. You know, there are songs on this new album that reflect... my relationship with my children, and I think back to childhood. There's a song on there about how I grew up on the Nullarbor Plain and things like that. And then there's songs that remind me of old songs that my dad used to play me when I was a little kid and things like that. So there's a bit of everything, yeah.
Mm, and so then do you think, you know, if you could look forward 10 years, you'd be in a different place and you'd have all this... You'll have all this new material.
Look, who knows, you know. I'm one of those people that, you know, I don't sort of overthink things too much. I like sort of being creative and just letting it come out, you know. I don't think about it too much. I just sort of let it fall out, really, which is really what this album, Little Bird, did. I wasn't even planning on doing an album this year at all, and then I just started writing all these songs and I couldn't stop them and I got excited and made an album. But that's generally how I like to work, you know. I don't like to plan things too much. So who knows what sort of album I'm going to make in 10 years' time? I have no idea.
It'll be very interesting to see. At the moment, though, Little Bird, as you say, is the name of the album and the single. Very catchy. Was there a moment when you thought, oh, hang on, this is it, this is the name and this is the riff that'll hook the album?
Look, I wrote this song, Little Bird, thinking back on a time about 10 years ago when I was just getting to know the industry and I was getting told by a lot of people, in the industry that if I wanted to make it in music, I would have to change the style of music I play and change the way I look, the way that I write songs. And that was around the time that I wrote Not Pretty Enough, sort of thinking about how I didn't really fit in to this whole music world, you know, and I felt quite uncomfortable with the thought of having to change who I was as an artist and who I was as a person, really, because as an artist, I feel like I get all my inspiration from stuff that goes on in my real life, not in my music life. And I got thinking about it not long ago and sat down and wrote Little Bird about how I'm glad that I didn't listen to any of those people. I just did my own thing and did it my own way and, you know, stayed true to myself, I guess. And, yeah, and I feel great about that now, you know. I love the sort of music that I play and I love country music, and I also love pushing the boundaries of country music and just playing whatever falls out. And, yeah, so, I mean, Little Bird was sort of my favourite message on the album, I guess. Yeah.
It's so, at first listen, I actually thought it was about a bloke.
Yeah. Well, it sort of is, and I think it's one of those songs a bit like Not Pretty Enough where I wrote it about a particular thing, but it can very easily be twisted into meaning something different to somebody else. And, you know, I had so many people after Not Pretty Enough tell me, look, I feel like that. I feel invisible and not pretty enough in my work situation or in my relationship or things like that, even though I wrote it about the music industry, which is obviously not what everyone's going to relate to. Mm. But
and that's how you see how like music can be interpreted in so many different ways.
Yeah, I love
ways.
That about music.
Well, let's hear it, shall we?
Sure.
Little Bird. This is the latest single from Kacey Chambers' new album of the same name called Little Bird. This is Kacey and Michael Moko as her guitarist. But Kacey also, I should say, if it sounds like two guitars, there are two. Michael's playing one and Kacey's playing the other.
Yeah, tune into Michael's a bit more. He's a better player than me.
Push your levels up a bit.
Exactly.
Okay, take it away.
Call the knife.
Thank you.
That was brilliant work.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Now, you were performing that. You had your eyes shut through a lot of that song. Is that the way you like to...
I guess so.
Do you mean to shut your eyes?
You know what? I didn't even notice that I was. But, yeah, I think I probably do quite a bit, on stage as well. Certain songs as well, you know. I think there's certain songs that I feel like I want to see the audience reaction and things like that. And you kind of feed off that, especially when you're doing, like, an up-tempo song and things like that. But, you know, sometimes it's just about closing my eyes and trying not to forget the words.
Or kind of is it that thing of certainly in that there's lots of different octaves that you're doing as well in that song?
Yeah. I don't really sort of think about that. I know the song quite well now, so that they just come out, you know, however, and don't always hit them, but, you know, it's fun. You know, I'm not one of those technically great singers. I just kind of open my mouth and hope that what comes out doesn't make people cringe.
It sounds all right. It's okay. Michael, does she perform that the same? Can you notice little nuanced differences when she performs the song?
It's pretty much the same all the time. It's just... every now and again we fall off the rails and we just follow each other.
We just hope that it's not live radio when that happens, you know. But, yeah, we just sort of... I mean, I think sometimes I do mess up the words in that song and I put, you know, like I swap verses around or something, but Michael doesn't even notice. I think, you know, I think he's in guitar mode and he's like, oh, I didn't even notice you're saying different words.
Do you have this thing of, like, it's my job to kind of, you know, support that song? Do you have that, or are you just kind of playing it as a general kind of hit the notes and play the tune?
Not really. I think there's, like, a bit more to think about than that. Like, the song has dynamics, and once you play it a few times, they normally sort of just come out naturally. The words and everything sort of all, whether you're thinking about what the words are or not, they kind of subconsciously lead you to do the right thing once you play it enough.
And I guess you knowing that song now so well that you'd be able to do that without really, you know, overly attempting to.
Yeah, it just happens now. It's cool.
Yeah, it's good. And it's really nice when that clicks in with the song too, because when you there's something really exciting about playing a song for the first time. That's really great. You know, it's really exciting and... you know, but when you have played it quite a few times and that little thing clicks in where you don't have to think about it anymore and you can just get lost in the song and the actual meaning of the song and the feel of the song, that's a really lovely moment to sort of get to. And then it lasts like that forever, you know, as long as you don't ever get too sick of it. But I still love playing all my old ones, most of them anyway, yeah.
Yeah, do you still like, you know, pulling out the captain and all those?
Always, you know. I mean, we're going out and touring. This album comes out the 17th of this month, and we'll go out and tour from that date onwards and tour all around Australia as much as we can. We're coming around this area too, and we'll play, you know, a few songs from Little Bird because that's what we're promoting at the moment. But most of the set is all filled up with old songs. We love playing all the old ones, and still my favourite song to play every night on stage is The Captain. I love it. I just still love it. I find something new in it every night, and it feels fresh and, yeah, I always find something in it.
We've received an SMS from Yvonne who says, Casey, I loved how you and Shane studied Bob Dylan. Is that right?
Yeah.
She says, and they used it to create the best and most innovative Australian music ever.
Oh, lovely.
So that's a nice compliment.
Yeah, I mean, Shane was brought up on a lot of Bob Dylan's music and I was as well. So then when we met, we shared a lot of those influences we both had from our parents growing up. So, yeah, that's great.
I wrote down a few other of your musical role models that you've also been lucky enough to perform with, including Lucinda Williams, Paul Kelly, Slim Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, these are all people that I've looked up to for such a long time, and then to, you know, to have that moment of actually standing next to them and singing, you know. I remember playing on the Arias one time quite a few years ago with Paul Kelly, and we're all standing around one mic. I had my dad on one side and Paul Kelly on the other side in one microphone singing in my ear, and I'm thinking, man, this is the most surreal moment I've ever had in my life. I can't believe it. It was just overwhelming, but really
awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, and is there anyone you aspire to that you haven't performed with yet?
Oh, tons of people.
Hasn't done backing vocals on one of your things?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really lucky to get to work with a lot of my heroes, and but there's so many American singer-songwriters that I look up to that, you know, that I probably won't ever get the chance to work with, and a lot of great Australian artists. I was just recently they used a sample of Rattlin' Bones on a Bliss and Esso song, which I'm a fan of Bliss and Esso, so that was really exciting. And I thought, I really hope I get to perform that with them one day at one of their concerts, because that would be really different to my audience, I would think. But you know, quite an eye-opener. I would love to get to perform with them, so hopefully that'll happen one day.
Oh, it sounds like you're inspired by many different genres then.
Yeah.
Kacey Chambers, thank you so much for popping into the studio
thank
today.
You.
It's been so good to meet you as well.
Oh,
and
lovely.
I know I'm sounding like, you know, one of those weird stalking fans, but I do have a couple of things to sign.
No worries, I'd love to. Thanks so much for having
thank
us.
You.
We appreciate the support.
No, thank you. And thanks, Michael, as well, for popping by. It's been good to meet you too.
No worries.
Enjoy the rest of the promo tour. Where are you off to next?
We actually head to Shepparton next, and then we're on our way up to Albury, and then next week it's over to Perth, and then we do Adelaide, and then we do Queensland, and we've got all these dates. And then we tour in between that as well with the band, so we'll be back down here really soon, a bit later.
I did actually, want to give out some of your performance dates as well. The Capitol Theatre, Bendigo, Wednesday the 13th of October, and the next night, Thursday the 14th of October, at the Horsham Town Hall. That's being renovated, you know, so I think got in there just before the renovations. There,
oh, okay.
So they've been delayed. There's been a bit of controversy with the design, but anyway, of the renovation. So, yeah,
oh,
so
okay. They're not going to say, all right, just stick around. You might have to knock a few walls down for us while you're here.
Wouldn't be surprised. But it's all right. I'm sure it'll be fine when you're there. But then after that, when you go back there, there'll be a brand
it'll
new
be
foyer.
It'll be completely different. Yeah.
New seating, fixed seating, and all that sort of stuff that they're putting in there. So enjoy the tour there. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Looking forward to it.